Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk.
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
And this is Rick Swan.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
I'm Rocco Cinco Romero.
David Starr.
Support WrestleTalk.
You are watching WrestleTalk.
Congratulations, you got here. Now, subscribe
and support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk and please subscribe now.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it.
Support Ollie. Support me. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Because we talk about wrestling, and I like it.
Support WrestleTalk.
Go subscribe.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is, and whoever Luke Owen is, vote the Ravens. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Chopper P. Quinnell and I am joined by El Fakeador, Laurie Blake.
Hi.
Hey, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Good. This is the last time we're actually going to be doing the podcast together for a little bit because Luke is very selfishly going away to Japan, which means I'm going over to the AEW side of things with Ollie for a little bit for a couple weeks. Which is really sucks.
Am I doing this with Simon?
Yeah, you're doing it with Simon.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, more, even more of you and Simon.
Me and Simon all the time.
Yeah.
I live with him. I work with him. It's getting on my nerves, frankly.
Which is a real shame because of what happened in this episode of NXT. Yeah, I really want to see the follow-up.
Sucker. Loser.
I know. But we'll get into that in a
minute.
You
can go over to AEW.
But...
You can find out what's happening with Chris Jericho. Oh, everyone cares so much.
I mean, I get the combination
Boring.
Of the... I get the combination of the tag team tournament, right?
Yeah, that's
true. Something I get. Yay. Yeah. I mean,
Lucha Bros versus SCU?
I think so, yeah.
We've seen that before.
Well, I did actually get time today to check out the, the Lucha Bros versus Private Party match that kicked off Dynamite. That was a very fun match. Mm-hmm. That was a great match. It's very spotty.
Might be my lunchtime watch.
Yeah.
Might not watch bouldering videos this lunchtime. Ooh. I might watch Private Party versus
that,
Lucha Bros.
That is unprecedented. You not watching bouldering videos
or
parkour videos.
I just like watching people climb stuff.
Yeah. Well, we've got an email here from Luke Chador, who said, "Hey guys, you may be wondering, why is WrestleTalk's resident furry emailing into the Burger King Pete Quinnell? Well, here's why. I'd like to hear your guys' picks on your top 5 underutilized talent in NXT and your top 5 most disliked / overpushed talents on the same brand. My top 5 most underused NXT talents are ACH, Asaya Scott, Tainara Conti, Katie Catanzaro, what happened to her, and last but not least, Wesley Blake. My personal disliked stars of the NXT brand, these are heavily controversial, he put that, not me, said Io Shirai,
what?
Bianca Belair,
what?
Alexander Wolfe, Killian Dane, and finally, Cameron Grimes' hat.
Bloody Cameron
that
Grimes'
hat.
Stupid hat.
Thank you for reading out this email on the Wrestle Don't Mention the Ramble Experience Talk Live podcast, The Luchifer, Luke Chador. Thank you for your email,
Luke
Chador.
Thank you very much.
Honestly, I'd say there's a lot of people that if I want to see them do well, they do well in NXT. There's not too many people I'm like, why aren't they getting pushed? Because generally NXT treats them pretty well. Weirdly, Fandango, I'd really like to see him do like a singles run as like a more serious character.
Oh my God, I'd like to see the whole of Breeze
Dango. Well, yeah, obviously that. But yeah, just in general, I think Fandango is a really, really good wrestler. Mm. Not, I'm not going to say he's, you know, top of the card kind of thing, but I think if he could get like a North American title push as like a serious singles wrestler, I think he could be really, really good.
I think I kind of agree with the Jordan Miles ACH mm-hmm. and Swerve. Swerve yeah. seems like he's actually getting some sort of push mm-hmm. from this week. I felt like this week's match was all about him, really.
Yeah.
I don't really know what's happened with Jordan Miles. He's just sort of dropped off the face of the earth yeah. after that one match of Adam Cole.
They had that really weird tease where it looked like they might be teasing some sort of dissension between him and Keith Lee, because they did a couple of backstage segments where Keith Lee was his best mate and he was like, "Don't worry, bud, I'll be here for you," etc. But yeah. he had a weird way of saying it. So he was like, "Oh yeah, I'll be watching you because you've got the NXT championship and you've been here for like a month and I've been here a year and I've not got anything."
Yeah, but that was all plot they dropped again when they yeah. were like, okay, well then we're going to do that with Shane Thorne as well. Mm-hmm. They Shane Thorne for about 2 weeks and they were like, no, we'll drop that again as well.
Yeah.
And then it was just, we're on the live show now, so it's only what happens on the... Only what happens on the live show matters. It's like Finn Balor was wrestling this week mm-hmm. at NXT live events yeah. for the brand
yep.
as babyface Finn. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay. He's not returned to action on NXT TV yet.
No, exactly.
Interesting stuff. Who else was... Yeah. Who's overpushed?
Overpushed?
I don't know if I've got five people who are underpushed. I think everyone's sort of like...
Yeah.
Bubbling away nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Overpushed. Maybe Riddle.
Ooh, maybe, interesting.
Maybe I've had my fill of Riddle. Like, I think Riddle's really good.
You've had your fill little... Nope.
I've had my fill of Riddle. Sorry. I think he's really, like, he's obviously incredibly talented and he's great and he's really over, but he has been on every week of NXT TV.
That's true.
Basically. He has. And yeah. It is sort of that thing of, like, maybe you could have used the time where he, after the Adam Cole match, just put him on the back burner for a bit, like, mm-hmm. make him turn up once every 2 weeks and have a match. But he just seems to be constant momentum and it doesn't. It's not really going anywhere.
Mm, yeah. This is going to seem like a really weird one and possibly a very controversial one. And I definitely didn't think this at the time, but in retrospect, I think it was not great, was Bobby Roode, honestly. Because I bloody loved his theme. I loved his character. I thought he was fantastic. I didn't think he was NXT Championship material, honestly.
I did not like Bobby Roode.
I thought he was good as a character. I thought he was great as a character. If they had the North American title back then,
he would have been such a good North American champion.
He would have been a perfect North American champion. But I just didn't see him that way as NXT champion. Like, he beat Shinsuke Nakamura clean, and I was like, what?
It was a bit of a weird fallow period, though, in the Roode era. Mm-hmm. Like NXT was still like rebuilding the kind of roster after they just got gutted when
they came
in and were like, we'll have Shinsuke, we'll have Asuka, we'll have all these people. And
yeah.
they were just sort of like, what do we do now? And then yeah. they got, you know, then they ended up with Baszler and everyone else who's now kind of the mainstays of the brand. So it's picking back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, that's possibly controversial.
And they're almost overwhelmed with choice now. Who could be the champion? Yeah. Who could be the champion? Who could be the North American champion? Like, not that they need a new belt, but like, I just think there's so much potential in that roster now of like amazing matches over the belts.
Exactly, yeah. And it's like, we even had it in this week's episode. We had a triple threat for the North American Championship between three really cool guys, and the segment ended with an entire different faction and a heel turn from someone else and two other guys being involved. It's like, there's so many people here!
Oh,
all of these guys are
yeah.
champion material! Like, what? It's insane, yeah. So this, yeah, they have an incredible roster right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, come WrestleMania time, that's going to get gutted again.
You'd hope not this year.
I'd really hope not.
This year they have a much better argument for no.
Yeah, which we have a TV show.
We're on TV and we were doing something.
Yeah, well, they've been advertising Gargano as NXT for life, so let's hope that's true.
Mm-hmm.
tell you what, let's get into the main portion of the show. I've got one more email that I'm going to get to in the outro. So, let's get into the main portion of the show where we're going to be talking about that heel turn, that thing that happened. It's mental. Can't believe it.
Da doy.
Here's the main show. Let's talk about NXT. Let's talk about that heel turn that happened.
Mm.
So, this happened at the very, very end of the show. We'll talk about the actual main event match that happened later on, which was the triple threat North American title match between Keith Lee, Dominik Dijakovic, and Roderick Strong.
That was muy bien.
It was great. But spoilers for that match. The end of that match ended with Roddy stealing the victory, essentially. Standing tall, Undisputed Era come out. They're all buddy buds. Yay, we're great. They start beating down on Keith Lee because they're mean people, I guess.
Why not?
They can. They stood tall and were like, hey, we're awesome, holding up their titles. Prophecy still alive, etc. Out comes Tommaso Ciampa with a crutch to say, hey, remember me. I'm still coming for your NXT championship, boy. But he is outnumbered 4-1.
Yep.
And they all look pretty, you know, pretty good standing in his face. Out comes Johnny Gargano. Ooh, big DIY reunion, which is cool.
They have a little look, a little moment where they're like, okay, we're doing this together, fine.
Yep, and then they turn to Undisputed Era and they're standing them off. And then Finn Balor's music hits. Oh, man, and now the odds are getting even here because Roddy's just gone through this huge North American title match. It's basically 3-on-3 at this point. Out comes Balor, walks down to the ring. Gargano and Ciampa kind of separate and let him join in the middle. He kind of looks at both of them, looks at the Undisputed Era. Right, I'm ready. Goes to take his jacket off. As he's taking his jacket off, falls backwards and does a huge paler kick to Johnny Gargano. What? What's happening? He delivers his paler kick to Gargano. Gargano goes down. He stands in the corner while the Undisputed Era go ham on Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah, he just stands there and they rush. It's really good. He's like, it's such good framing as well because he steps in front of them. So he's like on the hard cam side. And in the background, you see them like jackals all just like rush Tommaso Ciampa. And like, it's a really good shot where they're slightly out of focus, just being like,
Yeah, and you can't even really see what they're doing. All you know is they are beating the hell out of Tommaso Ciampa. And that's all that matters. All that matters is they are going ham. And Balor just stands there and lets them do it. There's a really nice moment where he and Adam Cole just kind of stare at each other. Cole's just like, okay. And Balor's just there.
Fine
just like,
then, all right.
And Balor's just there just, yeah, do what you want, man.
Then he gets out of the ring and takes his jacket off properly in front of everyone going absolutely nuts in the crowd. And he delivers this running drop kick to Johnny Gargano that is insane.
It's so big.
He just puts him, like he just... Johnny's leaning against the barricade on the other side, and he just runs and kicks Johnny through the damn thing into the crowd. Obviously, the crowd is wrestlers.
Yeah, it's just plants.
Into a bunch of plants. But, oh my God, it looks so good.
It looked brutal. Yeah. It looked so, so good. Because, obviously, like, delayed drop kicks from Balor look cool anyway. But this one really felt like it had some, like, extra venom in it.
It was like,
I'm heel now. Yeah. I will hurt you.
It was a proper shotgun one.
It was great.
There was this bit, and then there was a boom.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he picks him up, and he takes him to the ramp, and he does a sort of inverted, well, like a stalling
a
DDT
brain buster pretty
thing.
Much, yeah.
It was more DDT-ish.
Yeah.
Because he does the other one where he does it backwards, doesn't he?
Yes, yeah.
It was like that, but a brain buster kind of thing onto the ramp. It was horrible.
Great.
And then you're left with Ciampa's down, Keith Lee and Dijak have disapparated or whatever they've done. Johnny is down on the ramp, and in the ring, the Undisputed Era are all doing their hand signal, looking at him, and everyone in the crowd's going, do it. Go on. Do it. Do the thing.
They turn into Emperor Palpatine. They're just do it.
And then Balor just looks up at them for a second, and there's a moment he's going to do it, and he just goes, boom.
Ah, double fingers.
Yeah.
It's great. So cool.
Which obviously the big callback to Prince Devitt and New Japan and Bullet Club and all of that good stuff. All the stuff that made Finn Balor, like put Finn Balor on WWE's radar. All the stuff that made them want to sign him and bring him to NXT and turn him into Finn Balor in NXT that got over so much and then went to the main roster got ruined. But this is the return to form. And what an interesting way to signal it as well, because if you watch my news on Thursday, we're recording this on Thursday, but it was coming out Sunday. So if you watch my news on Thursday, I said that like Finn tweeted saying, I'm back. Anderson and AJ both retweeted it saying like, what took you so long, Prince? So the big suggestion is obviously that this is the Prince Devitt version of Finn Balor coming back. And it's interesting because when he was saying in his promo last week, my past has now become my future. Everyone was like, oh, his return to NXT when he was the champion and he was the longest reigning champion. I think they did a very good job of hiding, of not being like, Balor was a champion in Japan. Balor was like one of the biggest name, one of the biggest Western names in Japanese wrestling, blah, blah, blah. They were just like, Balor in NXT, he had this long title reign, he did all this stuff, won all these things. They like buried the lead really well there.
Yeah.
And were like, keep that bit of information hidden because, yeah, it's not his recent past. It's his proper past.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the thing that made his name that we're going back to. And it's so cool.
It's so, so cool. That's the overriding thing from this. This was awesome. And that Pele kick to Gargano was so surprising. And it looked like he almost just, like, fell over to start with.
Mm.
That the crowd didn't really register what had happened. He delivered the Pele kick and the crowd were like, And then Undisputed Era just started attacking Ciampa. And then when they saw that Balor was just standing there, not doing anything, they were like, oh my god, he's turned heel! Then the crowd like picked up and went mental for it.
But this is what everyone's been crying out for from Finn Balor.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad it happened in NXT. I'm so glad he went back. I'm so glad it's happened there. Because yeah, this heel turn on the main roster wouldn't have worked. But the merest suggestion of Finn Balor finally forming a club, even if it's joining somebody else's club and taking over, or it's he gets in opposition to the Undisputed Era and the OC join him for like a one-off NXT match. Mm-hmm. AJ Styles going to NXT.
That would be incredible.
If that happens, like, there's so much potential with this stuff. Even if he just stays on his own, but like, it's just that is the right way to frame it. If not, just like Finn Balor the man turns on his own and there's no like hint of him forming a unit or anything like that. Putting it in the context of he could join Undisputed Era, he might form a faction.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
So, so good. And yeah, just that lasting image of him doing the double guns and all that. Obviously, it's an amazing throwback to the New Japan stuff. And it, like you said before, it just really solidifies that's the character we're getting. That heel Balor. Because we haven't seen heel Finn Balor in WWE at all. He's never been heel. Not since his NXT days, not on the main roster.
He's been smiling Finn Balor.
He's been smiling Finn Balor or demon Finn Balor, and that's it. So now we're going to get actual heel Finn Balor in NXT. And like you said, I'm so, so happy this happened in NXT. Heel Balor on the main roster would have got maybe a 3-week push and then he'd just be another guy.
Yeah.
Heel Finn Balor in NXT feels like he could completely change the landscape of NXT. Yeah. And I think this was a very good move because there's a lack of top heels in NXT right now. We've got the Undisputed Era.
They're too over.
And Dominik Dijakovic, I guess.
The problem with Undisputed Era is that they are heels, but they're too over.
Yeah.
And they just everything they do just comes across as, that was great.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
I feel like Finn Balor can at least add some drama to that. Like even if they see, like they teased here that he's looking at Adam Cole.
Mm-hmm.
As a semi sign of respect and also a semi sort of like, I'm still interested in that. That's what I came here for.
Yeah.
You've got to imagine that like his return was still just like saying, I want that and I'm here and that's what I've come for. So like, and maybe part of the wanting the belt is also wanting the group.
Yeah.
Maybe Adam Cole gets kicked out of the Bullet Club again.
Oh my God. Imagine that. Yeah. Because that's the thing. They didn't overtly say, Balor's part of the Undisputed Era now.
No.
There was a very distinct split between them. Undisputed Era were in the ring doing their, you know, hand pose thing. And then Balor was on the ramp, did his finger guns and walked off. So he didn't, like, join Undisputed Era.
No.
But there's still a little tease of them just being like, you know, they acknowledge each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it might just be, you know, ships passing in the night kind of deal. Balor goes on to other things. There's still that little plate spinning. It could just be Balor by himself. It could be a Balor doing a new faction. There's all these different little plates that are spinning, and I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm really sad that I'm not going to be able to watch NXT early next week because I'm doing AEW instead.
Oh, yeah.
I really, really, really want to see what happens next week.
So I, like, obviously Finn Balor was your Finn Balor guy for NXT. You were like, yeah, you were like so excited when he came back. And I was like, yeah, Finn Balor coming back is really cool and obviously a really big deal. I'm way more excited now.
Same.
I'm super interested. Yeah. Like,
and that's the thing. I never really saw heel Finn Balor because I wasn't really aware of the whole New Japan side of things before I saw him in NXT. So I've seen like I've gone back and you know watched clips and stuff of him from his heel New Japan times, but I've never really properly seen heel Finn Balor before, and I'm so excited for it because he just seems really bloody cool.
Yeah.
And that's
if you keep shotgun drop kicking people through things, I'm into that. And I'll watch that.
I like
any
it.
Any day of the week.
I like it a lot. And I think it's even though he delivered three moves in that, the Pele kick, the drop kick, and the brain buster, all of them seem like he had an entirely different attitude and venom behind it.
Yeah.
If he has that kind of impact behind the entire rest of his moveset, yes, please.
Well, yeah, because I guess that's the thing with Finn as well. Like, Finn, NXT Finn and main roster Finn suffered a little bit of five moves of doom at times. Like, he's got some very good, cool moves, but he does just do the big penalty kick on the apron.
Sling blade.
The Terpe con Hilo. Like, yeah. He does sling blade, yeah. Shotgun drop kick into the corner.
Coup de grace.
And we're out. Yeah. But like, so it's nice to see new stuff being added in and like, hopefully we get a bit more kind of, because I think the pace of NXT since Finn Balor's days picked up and it's much more people do, like you've got Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic going out there and doing insane things week on week.
God.
So if Balor has upped his game to hang with the rest of the NXT guys and they're doing what they've upped their game to be on TV, I cannot wait to see it. Like,
it's genuinely going to... I'm so excited.
Like, I'm
so excited.
So intrigued by the story now as well of like what will happen. Because I think NXT has struggled a little bit last few weeks after that first show, which they built up to... not the first show, the third show. The one that went up against AEW. Because 2 weeks building up to that, did that, and then they've been trying to rebuild the brand from there. And some weeks, not a lot's happened, and it's all been sort of built to something bigger.
Yeah.
This feels like the big statement, like, here's a direction. You know, like, there was a lot of, like, I felt like this episode of the show was like, there's direction for this bit of the division, there's a direction in this match, there's direction here for this person, and boom, here is the biggest direction you're going to get of, like, this is the most intriguing thing happening now, is what is Finn Balor going to do? Is he going to face Johnny Gargano? Is he going to face Tommaso Ciampa? Is he going to face Adam Cole? There's so many possibilities.
Yeah. And if we just look at where the story is going right now, if this is building to TakeOver War Games, it looks like we might be getting a Tommaso Ciampa versus Adam Cole match. Mm-hmm. It looks like we might be getting a Finn Balor versus Johnny Gargano match. We've got potentially a female War Games with some stuff that was set up on this episode as well. Just those three matches alone, I'm like... Oh my God, yes. That could be one of the best cards we've seen on a TakeOver ever. And that is insane when you think of the quality of TakeOvers that we've had. And this might be the best one. Like, I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
I can't wait to see what they pull out at TakeOver as well. Like, I know. In terms of just like, they must be having, like, if the TV show is getting, like, this big now, they must have something massive for the pay-per-view, surely.
You'd hope.
Triple H loves an escalation. Everyone comes out in a Terminator mask.
Oh, yes.
Everyone's got a motorbike. Perfect.
Everyone comes out on a quad bike.
Everyone comes out on a custom motorbike.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's get on to the main portion of the show, shall we?
Yep.
So this episode opened up with Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair, which has been set up in the last couple weeks. Really, really hot crowd for both competitors. As soon as they came out, they were chanting Rhea. Then when Bianca came out, they were chanting EST. Crowd was super hot throughout the whole night, really. But this match was basically about who's stronger. Mm-hmm. So it starts off with them just trying to like do collar and elbow tie-ups and like trying to push each other over. And then
they did a really good like wrist lock spot where they were both control, like maintaining wrist control. Lol. And then they were and then there was just a really good like Bianca Belair did a pop up from the mat and then like turned it around. Then Rhea did sort of like ended up forcing her to roll through, and then her wrists ended up upside down, and it was like, oh, that looks really painful.
Then they had a really cool spot where both of them were trying to suplex each other. They kept fighting back and forth as to who could get the suplex on. Rhea eventually got one. Then after a couple more minutes, Bianca came back and then did her own one as well. It was like, oh, it's just like one-upsmanship the whole match. There wasn't really like a person that took control very early. It was very kind of back and forth early. During the ad break, Bianca Belair actually did take control. She was very much working the heel here. Like she was very much kind of getting her in the ropes and like not breaking holds until the five count on the rest five counts.
She was doing a very slow methodical breakdown for the in the ad breaks.
Yes, but it was never boring.
No.
It was still very fun to watch.
And then they timed it perfectly as well, because it comes back from the ad break and Ripley fires back. She hits a clothesline or something, and then she
it was a big boot out of midair. Like Bianca went for a leapfrog, and she was like, "Nope!"
So she swung for the clothesline. So she pushes Bianca off, runs in for the clothesline. Bianca ducks, hits the ropes, comes back, leapfrog, hits the ropes, comes back. Belair goes for another leapfrog, but Ripley just goes, "Nope,
absolutely not."
Just dunks her out of the air.
It was so
amazing.
Good.
People went nuts for it.
Yeah, it looked brutal. It was so cool. Ripley came back and hit some more offense, but just as it looked like she was closing in on a win, out comes Io Shirai, who came to the outside as Rhea Ripley was on the outside. She comes in and does a tiger feint kick on like the apron. Mm-hmm. So she comes in between the apron and the bottom rope and just does a tiger feint kick onto Rhea Ripley. And then she gets her back inside and ducks down behind the side so the ref can't see her. Bianca hits a spear, and I was like, oh, well, match
That's
over.
It, yeah,
Io Shirai.
Yeah.
And then Rhea kicked out. Yeah. I was like, oh, whoa, okay. I did not see that one coming a mile off. And then after that, Io Shirai gets back on the apron trying to run distraction again. Out comes Candice LeRae, comes out and drags Shirai off and makes sure she can't run interference. That allows Rhea to hit a half pump handle bomb thing.
The Riptide.
That one. And get the win.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
Yep.
Really, really fun match. And that's got to be building to like either a fatal four-way between these four or like a female War Games match.
Yeah.
You'd think.
I feel like it's got to be the female War Games. I feel like you could put Io and Bianca in with Chayna and the Horsewomen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could have Candice and Rhea start to gather people up.
Yeah.
Like Mia Yims and that.
Yeah.
For this War Games match.
Maybe Nox and Kai.
Yeah,
maybe.
Nox and Kai, depending on what happens next week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that, there's a lot of potential here for stuff to happen. And I felt like this was obviously the right decision, but it felt very much about the women's division.
Yes.
Even though like we should be positioning Ripley to be the big challenger for Shayna Baszler at some point, but maybe we do that at the next takeover rather than at War Games.
Yes. Yeah. Still. I said it last week and I'll say it again. Bloody love the women's division NXT right now.
Yeah.
So cool. So many plates spinning. So many like interconnecting rivalries and all trying to vie for that NXT Women's Championship. I love it. I thought this was great. Kathy Kelly was backstage with Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate outside. Pete Dunne said that receipt's coming for Damian Priest.
Yeah. After Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne was like, well, he won last week. And he was like, yeah, but he went low, mate.
He went low, mate. and Dunne just goes, no excuses. And then he said, yeah, receipt's coming for Damian Priest. And then Kathy says, well, you tried to break Killian Dane's fingers, so have you got anything to say about Killian Dane? He goes, I don't care about Killian Dane.
Don't care about Killian Dane, you're not my mum.
And then walks off. And Tyler Bates there's like, and then they walk off together being all happy. It was great. We get a video package for Tommaso Ciampa and his like recovery journey, looking like an absolute monster, as he always does whenever he's working out. I'm like, good God, you man. He's awesome. I love Ciampa.
It was a great little promo package.
It was a great promo package, yeah. Just showing his entire injury, his thought process, him doing a little voiceover over the top, him showing him working out, and then his return against Adam Cole. It was awesome.
We're then showing Tyler Bate in the crowd, so he's getting involved in this next match, isn't he?
Almost
Matt
certainly.
Matt Riddle versus Cameron Grimes.
And his hat.
Terrible.
2-on-1 handicap match.
Terrible.
2-on-1 hattie cap match.
Terrible. Dreadful hat.
I think
this was wicked, though.
This was so cool.
This was actually the Cameron Grimes match that was needed.
Yes, very much so.
This was the match that was like, they didn't quite, nothing quite gelled this way in the breakout tournament. Everything since then has been like a weird squash with either a distraction or just like he's just got it because of the cave-in, which is what they've now named the double stomp.
Yep. Just a cool name.
It is a cool name. Yeah. This match put him over more than any of that.
Oh, like, so good.
Losing to Matt Riddle here put him over far more than any of that stuff. There was so much good stuff in this match.
And it started really well. I think the commentary did a really great job of saying, you know, Cameron Grimes always tries to get that early, quick win. Probably going to try the same here with Matt Riddle, like as he was making his entrance. And they were saying, and don't forget as well, Matt Riddle's no stranger to that. He beat Cassius Ohno in 6 seconds. Yeah. So we can see a really hot start here. Bell rings immediately. Grimes goes for the double stomp and Riddle like rolls out the way. And I was like, that's such a good moment for the commentary to like put that over in your mind. Yep. And then that thing happens.
But then Riddle turns it around and tries to go for the final flash as well.
Exactly.
Grimes dodges. It was really smart stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They then had a Well, there was a bit where Riddle hits the jackhammer.
Oh, that was so great.
He just hits the So they are building that match.
Yes, they are.
They absolutely are building that match.
Especially from what the commentary said straight afterwards as well, because the crowd started chanting, Riddle, 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 the same cadence as the Goldberg chant. He hits a jackhammer, and then the commentary put over is like, I remember a Hall of Famer using that move. Can't think who it is right now, though. Mm. They're really putting over this Riddle Goldberg stuff, which is really, really great. I don't know whether that's ever actually going to pay off or whether that's just like an Easter egg for fans.
No.
I don't know. But
I'm hoping it will pay off.
Yeah. That would be so cool. Imagine if Goldberg goes to NXT.
Yeah, for a takeover. That would be amazing.
That would be incredible.
Yeah, and then there was bits where like Riddle just did like that crazy level of offense that he sometimes does where So he hit like a bunch of kicks and then running forearms and exploder, then the backflip into the Broton thing.
Yep.
He did a whole sequence where he like, well, the finish was amazing, where he popped up. Cameron Grimes goes for the double stomp and he pops him up into a power bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Power bombs him, flips him over, knees him in the face, and then does the Bro Derek.
That's such a weird name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't mind though, does he?
No.
But equally, I think Cameron Grimes had a lot of that same sort of offense where they did a lot of, like, you counter something into something crazy. So there was a bit where he goes for a kick when Riddle's on his knees. Riddle ducks the kick. So as Grimes turns around, he backflips into a German suplex. So he backflips onto the back of Riddle, catches him, and just German suplexes him.
Oh, it was so, so good. Amazing. It's like, where did that come from? Mm. He's literally standing there, leaps over him. As he lands, he's grabbing him, then lifts him up in like a deadlift position, turns around, and then delivers the German. It's like, whoa, Cameron Grimes, you're really, really good.
Yeah,
like,
and I did a similar thing earlier where he popped him up again for the powerbomb, but Grimes flipped out off the top, landed, forearm, knee strike, and then back into another kick or something. And then and then a Spanish fly. Oh, that was a dodge and then a super kick. And then he hit like a weird sort of tilting
It's like a power slam Spanish fly. Yeah. I just said...
Which is something that Jeff Cobb does, basically.
Yeah. And my notes literally just go, floating bro countered, Jesus F word, what just happened? So many spots, move after move after move after move. I can't keep up.
Mm-hmm.
It was so, so quick. So many spots. Crowd were hot for it the whole way through. And then, that ending sequence that you mentioned where Riddle picks up the win. Awesome match. Put over Grimes, put over Riddle still, which is good because he's one of their top stars. It was awesome. Then after the match, Riddle's kind of outside celebrating, doing some fist bumps. Goes for a fist bump on Grimes. Grimes goes, no,
don't want to
get out of him. I don't want to fist bump you. Get out of here. So instead, he fist bumps Tyler Bate, who's standing in that corner, and then he walks away.
I think Tyler Bate does a really good job in this, in the two sections he's in, because he's shown in the Riddle gives him a fist bump at the beginning and at the end.
Yes.
Bate does a really good job of seeming like a fan.
Yeah,
when he got the fist bump off Riddle the first time, he was like, oh, fist bump from Matt Riddle.
Wow.
Oh, great.
And then, yeah, so he does another fist bump to Tyler Bate and he walks away. Bate turns around to Cameron Grimes. He's like, dude, just do a fist bump. It's not that hard. Like, it's right. Just do one, mate. And Grimes is like, oh, go away. And he pushes Bate and he goes up the steps, grabs his hat, comes back down towards that corner, and Bate does that fake out punch he does. So he lifts the one up and then boom, so he punches with the other
bip
one.
Bip and bop?
Sure.
Something like that.
Yeah. The nick and knack.
Yeah, I don't
the
know.
Kit and cat. I don't know. Yeah, so he does that fake out punch and knocks him out and he just lies down on the ground. Everyone's like, hey, Tyler Bate. Woohoo!
Tyler Bate.
That sets up next week. It's going to be Cameron Grimes versus Tyler Bate.
Awesome.
Can't wait for that. Mm-hmm. I'm honestly kind of, as much as I love Tyler Bate, I want Grimes to win that one in another really, really good match.
Yeah.
So I want Grimes to, you know, have an amazing match like he did with Riddle here, and then but eventually go over in that match. And I think that will kind of cement him at the level he needs to be. I think that would be great. We get a quick side screen promo from Dijak. We see him warming up. Dijakovic.
Mm-hmm.
Not Dijakovic. It's a weird name. So he's warming up backstage for his main event match. Later, he does a quick side thing saying, I'm going to win. Promise my family I'll win the title. I'm going to win. Then we get a really interesting match announcement from William Regal, who said it's Tegan Nox versus and Dakota Kai, sorry, versus Marina Shafir and Jessamine Duke. I can talk. With the winner facing the Kabuki Warriors for the women's tag team titles on next week's NXT.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I feel like it was a really good announcement, but so little was made of it in the sense that it's like Asuka and Kairi Sane are going back to NXT for an episode.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
That felt like a bigger deal.
Yeah.
Like that felt like a that felt like an announcement they should have probably done live in like because this was a clip from the YouTube channel or something.
Yeah.
This feels like an announcement they should have done at the beginning of at the end of the match. He should have come out and said, well, for that victory, I'm going to give you a shot at.
Ooh, that's cool. Yeah.
And then they come up on the screen.
Asking Kairi Sane pop up on the screen. Yeah. That would have been great. That match is coming up later on tonight. Super stoked. We then get the Forgotten Sons versus Breezango, and it should have been Kushida, but he got injured. He's got a fractured wrist, I believe, so he's out for like a month. So then they've got a mystery partner for this six-man tag match. And it's revealed to be, Forgotten Sons come out. Breezango come out as airline pilots this time.
Well, they come out as Top Gun, don't they?
Yeah, it's Top Gun, basically. Sure.
I'm not into it. I just don't like it.
It's just not great.
It's too silly.
But then they get their partner revealed to be Asaya Swerve Scott instead of Kushida, which is really cool. Crowd were really into him. As soon as he got announced, they were like, ah! Oh! Swerve, we love him, after his match with Roddy Strong that he had that was really bloody good.
Considering he's had two losses.
Exactly,
NXT TV time.
Yeah.
He's surprisingly really over.
Mm. It's almost as if you have really good matches, it's a way to get you over or something.
True, yeah.
Who'd have thunk it? Fandango tears off his vest. It starts with Jackson Ryker being really strong, and then the Breeze and Swerve try to get in and try to duel him. They're like, nope, can't do that. So they tag in Fandango, and Fandango tears off his vest as he gets ready for stuff. And then he does that one spot where he nearly falls over for like 3 minutes. He's like windmilling his arms, and then he just starts gyrating his hips, and then does a leg drop. And then they go to an ad break. It was cool, whatever.
In the commercial break, Jackson Ryker hits a huge uranage onto the apron on Tyler Breeze. And then you come back, and the Suns are in control.
Yes.
And then this was all built around, again, the hot tag spot. But then I think it actually had a really interesting breakdown because it's like a hot tag spot. And I think Breeze tags in Dango.
He does.
Dango runs well, but he can't get it done. So he tags in Swerve. And Swerve manages to take all of them down. So like they start beating on Isaiah. And then he does like a weird... He does like a roll-up to one of the Forgotten Sons. They kick out immediately. So he rolls forward again and hits a leaping flatliner onto the other one.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
So cool.
He then chucks them all out of the ring. He goes up onto the apron, onto the turnbuckle to try and do a move. Riker jumps up onto the apron. You're like, oh, this is going to end really badly.
Mm-hmm.
He manages to fight him off for a second, hits him, and he rocks himself back onto the ropes. So he just does a moonsault off Jackson Riker's chest onto Blake and Cutler on the outside.
Oh, it was so cool because honestly, there's not much difference between that move and just going off the top rope and doing a moonsault. But it just looks so cool. It's like you're moonsaulting off a guy's chest.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It was really like creative, really fun.
But it was all built around putting him over. I think this whole match was like, we're going to feed five guys to you now and give you the sort of like shine of that. And he came off so well with the big Fosbury flop spot as well over the top rope. He just looked awesome in this match.
And he really did.
I really do think he's going to be a massive star in NXT.
I hope so.
If they push him right, I think he's going to be huge because he's already incredibly over.
Yes.
And two, he's clearly so talented and so good and has really innovative offense, I think.
Yes.
It's that kind of, he just does stuff that makes you go, whoa.
Gravity? ? Yeah. Swerve managed to get the win as well, which is really good. Really puts him over.
Yeah.
Thumbs up all round. We get another side screen promo from Roddy Strong. He's backstage warming up with Undisputed Era. He says, I'm going to win.
He put me in a... Regal was trying to mess me up with a match with these two big goofs.
Yeah.
I like heel Roddy Strong because he's so corny.
He's
like,
so cocky.
Yeah.
I love him so much. Mm. He's great. We then get Leo Rush comes out. NXT Cruiserweight Champion Leo Rush. He enters. Massive pop. Crowd are so into Leo Rush. Hot damn. We go straight into an ad break, and afterwards he's on commentary for the next match. But we do get a quick promo by Killian Dane first, who's out almost, harking back to the Sanity days. He's out by this fire on the outside. You know the ones they do in the little
tins. Is that an alley by a bin? Yeah.
Yeah, that thing. And he's standing by the fire, and he says, Pete Dunne tried to break his fingers, so he's going to break him. Mm-hmm.
But Pete Dunne doesn't care about you.
I don't care about Killian Dane.
Don't care about Killian Dane.
But then we get the next match with Leo Rush in commentary, which is Angel Garza versus Gentleman Jack Gallagher.
Whoa.
My God, I've missed Jack Gallagher.
I was expecting more Jack Gallagher in this match.
Me too.
It was actually still really good and really, really fun. I was just expecting a bit more offense from him.
Yes, I agree.
Because this was all about Garza, really. Mm-hmm. And it was actually put him over really strong. I think he's fantastic also.
He is.
They did a bit really early on where he like goes to take his trousers off, gets caught, and Jack then like tries to sort of whip him with it. And he obviously just steps out of his trousers and Jack's left holding them. So then he eats a super kick. Like, it was all really smart, fun stuff.
It was just little things at the start, like Gallagher went for a handshake and Garza just refused the handshake to start with. And then later on, Gallagher gets him in a wrist lock and just mimes shaking his hand with him while he's got control of his wrist. Oh, it's just really funny.
Yeah.
Innovative.
Well, they were
spots.
Clearly having a real, like a good laugh here. There was a point where Gallagher was on the outside and it looks like Garza's going to go for the suicide dive. He runs at the ropes and Gallagher goes down into the apron to hide. Like, just ducks right behind it. So Garza just slides in and just goes on his head. Like, it's just
amazing,
stuff.
Yeah. And then Gallagher did like repeated crucifix pins one after the other after
like
the other.
Teddy bear rolls. Yeah.
It was just so fun to watch. It was amazing. He did a huge like monkey flip to Gallagher over the top rope. Mm-hmm. Like this really over the top spot. There's like a power bomb that got countered into a headbutt from Gallagher, which looked amazing.
Yeah, that was this was the finale, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Power bomb counted into the headbutt. He goes for a dive in the corner, misses, and then Garza hits the Kiprana from the
the moonsault thingy.
The moonsault thingy that Aleister Black does. And that
was
the finish.
That one. Cool. Really like this match.
It was quick. It was like fun. It was puts over the Garza character really well, and the fact that he's kind of cocky and kind of silly and. But clearly incredibly talented.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, and it really positions Garza as next challenger for Leo Rush, potentially.
Yeah. Well, he gets up on the apron and he gets up on the turnbuckle. I keep saying apron instead of turnbuckle. Gets up on the turnbuckle and starts miming the belt at Leo. And Leo's like, oh, you want this, do you? On commentary. So he gets up and starts having a off-mic shouting match with Garza.
Yeah.
I'd really like to see that match.
Yes, please.
I'd also really like to see Angel Garza as the Cruiserweight champion.
I'll be well into it.
It's too early for Lio Rush to lose the belt, obviously, but
yes,
I think Angel Garza could be a really fun champion.
I think at some point, yeah, I'd really like to see him win. We then get the aforementioned match of Team Kick versus the Horsewomen, Nox and Kai versus Shafir and Duke. And obviously with the stipulation that they're going to be facing Kabuki Warriors next week. This match was very quick. It starts off with Duke coming out pretty hot. She gets like a massive big boot onto Dakota Kai just like almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then my next note is that Nox wins with a Shining Wizard.
Yeah.
So, there wasn't much in between. Like Duke ran hot for a little bit.
Yeah, Kai hit a scorpion kick that gave her the ability to tag in Tegan. Mm-hmm. Tegan hits two choke slams, the big diving crossbody. Kai comes in and pump kicks Shafir's head off and takes her out of the ring, which gives Nox enough room to hit the shiniest wizard, and it's all over.
Yeah.
What I liked about this, though, it was really cool to see Team Kick come out together to the same music.
Yep.
And you actually see that their entrances match up.
Yes.
Like, it was like, oh, they've been doing two halves of the same entrance the whole time. Because mm-hmm. they both got on the apron and did that thing, but like, they both just did their normal entrance and then like end up running back to back. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. They are literally just two halves of the same
part. I wonder if you overlaid their entrances from before like with like a transparency or something, you'd see that it matched up perfectly.
That would be incredible. Mm. That would be amazing. And then we get the Kabuki Warriors appear on the Titantron.
I loved this.
They come in and they cut a promo on both of them. They initially start talking some Japanese to start with.
Mm-hmm.
I love the new look of both of them,
yeah,
of the Kabuki Warriors. Asuka with her green kind of face paint that she's got, obviously, to do with the green mist. And now Kairi Sane starting to get some face paint as well around her eyes and things like that. They look awesome. And I've never seen heel Kairi Sane before.
Yeah.
So to see her just being like, oh, you guys don't stand a chance and all that stuff, I'm like, oh, this is rad. This is so cool.
Yeah.
I'm really, really excited next week.
Yeah, I enjoyed heel Kairi Sane in the match where they won the belts.
Yes.
Like when she did like the marching spot and the poke in the eyes.
Yeah,
I thought
yeah.
That was funny. Like, it was funny playing with the cutesy side of the character and making that mean.
Yes.
But here I was like, oh no, it's really cool. She's like crazed Japanese schoolgirl now.
Yeah.
It's like, she's just this horrible little giggle that she's doing the whole time. I think Asuka and Kairi Sane together as a pairing is really gelling now.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's not just, oh, you're two Japanese people, so we put you together. They actually feel like a tag team with a purpose, and I think work really nicely. I'm really excited for this match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's going to be awesome.
So pumped. And I'd be more pumped if I was actually reviewing it next week.
It's one of those things where it's like, it's just weird that they're not making a bigger deal of the fact that Asuka and Kairi Sane are returning to NXT.
Two former NXT women's champions.
Yeah, probably because it's a bit sad, really, that Asuka's coming back and it's like, do you remember what happened? We were undefeated when you were here last time.
Yeah.
So, but she can come back, and if she wins the match when she comes back,
still undefeated
she's
in NXT.
Still undefeated in NXT. So.
Undefeated. We then get a backstage promo from Keith Lee, who's warming up, and he says, I'm going to win. Same as the others, really. We then get confirmations of two matches, which is the Tyler Bate versus Cameron Grimes match and the Team Kick versus Kabuki Warriors match next week. And then we get...
Oh, we've also got... They also said that Io Shirai and Candice LeRae will face off next week.
Oh, that's right,
what Kathy
yes.
Kelly said as well.
Yes, yes. And then we get the main event.
I can't believe this match, honestly. Oh,
Keith Lee versus Dominik Dijakovic versus Roderick Strong for the North American title. My first note is, God, Roddy is such a cocky little S-word. I love him.
I love the bit, yeah. So when they're doing the introductions and they're saying this first challenger, this competitor, and the champion, Roddy does this like huge pop for him, his own name.
Yeah.
And there's just this brief moment where he just goes, he's like, yeah, me!
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and he looks at the answer and he's like, uh-oh.
Yeah, he's just got real like, for a second, then he goes back to being really cocky. And
yeah.
It's like, that was just really good little character work of like, yeah, I'm awesome. Okay.
I'm not scared, you're scared. Yeah, it was amazing.
This match
was incredible.
Yeah, it had me, I was just grinning from ear to ear. Same. Watching this. I was genuinely like, this is like some of the best NXT I've ever seen. It was... If you think how good the Keith Lee Dijak matches have been in general,
yeah,
this I think the inclusion of Roderick Strong here actually managed to take it to a new level because it
it
managed to tell this extra layer to the story of like They were just trying to have their match, and Roddy was just being a pest.
He's just getting in the way.
But I just thought it was told so well. Like, for the whole first bit, Lee is in control. And every time Roddy comes in the ring, he just does something.
He's like,
and
Roddy's no. Like,
no, goodbye now.
Yeah.
There was a bit where, like, they were... Lee just hits this huge pop-up slam really early on. Roddy jumps back in, and he tries to attack Lee, who just shrugs him off and pushes him out of the ring. Then it's like we're going into the break immediately, and he's already going like Grizzly Magnum. And it's like, what else are they going to do in the TV bit?
Like, I know. There was one bit in the outbreak that I absolutely loved, where again, Dijakovic was in the corner, Lee was in control. Roddy came back in to try and start stuff. He was doing some like forearms to Lee, and Lee was kind of like basically no selling it, and then just went. One punch and Roddy just went straight out the ring. It was so, so good. I wish I had actually seen that, not in the ad break with the sound, but Roddy
got
a
bit,
so cool.
Yeah, like Roddy got a bit more into the match after Lee sort of put Dijak on the top rope and it looked like he was going for a superplex. So Roddy runs in and pushes Lee over the side. Then he hits his own superplex. Then Lee comes back in, starts beating up Roddy. Roddy gets knocked down. Dijak does Time to Fly on Lee, just chucking him on top of Roddy.
Unbelievable.
There are so many spots in this match. It's like, it's almost impossible to go through, but it's just...
Genuinely, it is so hard to go through
all
of them.
The bit where Dijak goes for the cannonball off the apron, and
right?
Lee just goes, okay, well, I've caught you now.
Yeah.
Picks him up to go for the powerbomb onto the apron. Roddy then hits the running baseball, the wrecking ball drop kick, knocking them both over.
Yep.
That, like,
it's so unique. And then, this next spot, the Tower of Doom spot...
Oh, my Lord.
...was unreal. So you had... Dijak and Roddy were on the top turnbuckle. Looked like Dijak was going to go for a superplex of some description. Keith Lee comes in and is going to go for the powerbomb onto Dijak. Standard Tower of Doom stuff. The difference is, he picks up Dijak, Roddy's still on the turnbuckle, so then Dijak picks him up and holds him in a delayed position in the Tower of Doom, and then they all collapse in. It looked pretty dangerous, honestly. Lee comes down and powerbombs, and he almost hits like a brainbuster onto Roddy, and Lee almost falls out of the ring. He hits like his head on the ropes as he comes down.
Yeah.
Oh, it looked insane. It looked ridiculous.
Such strength. Yeah. That then leads to Roddy doing an Olympic slam to Lee, which is just...
Yeah.
And also height that they got off that, which got quite a near fall, but Lee managed to sort of pop him up into the air to get out of it. Somehow they all end up on the outside, and there's a moment at which Lee basically chucks Roddy. He lands on Dijak, who hits the Feast Your Eyes. As Roddy lands off the knee, Lee just pounces him out of the way. They look at each other. There's this amazing standoff moment, like everyone holds their breath for a second, and Dijak goes, "Should we get back in the ring?" And they both get back in the ring, and
so
everyone's
good.
Just going, "Oh my god!"
It was itchy because how that started was Roddy went for another baseball dropkick, and they both caught him on the outside.
Yeah.
Together, they caught him, and they were like, "Huh, we have a Roddy now."
Mm.
So then, yeah, that's when like Lee just chucked him onto Dijak, who did that whole spot, and then yeah, the crowd was going mental. They would just look at each other and go, "Right, in the ring, let's finish this."
Mm.
They went in, and then they had their match. You know, they had the Lee Dijak match. There was a huge avalanche choke bomb from Dijak to Lee that looked like it was going to be, you know, the end. Huge one for a near fall. And then I just wrote, this is amazing. There was a Frosby flop onto Strong, who Dijak went for the flop onto Lee. Lee dived in the ring as he was in the air, and he ended up hitting Strong instead, who had just got up from all the abuse from before. Oh, it was so good. Lee rolled in the ring, and then... Keith Lee hit a Tope Con Hilo. How?
Yeah.
How do you do that? Oh, he's so good.
That was when the roof started coming off the place.
Yeah.
So, because people were just like, I honestly cannot believe this. And I need to vocalize it in three syllables.
Yeah.
Holy S.
Holy S word, man. And then Lee... manages to get control of Dijak again. He goes for a massive powerbomb from the second rope, hits it, but then immediately Roderick Strong comes back in, hits his, you know, drop the thing, the kick thing that he does.
The sick kick.
Is that what it's called?
Hmm.
Yeah, that one. Hits
it's like a running knee sick kick he does here.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, yeah. And he does that onto Lee, who's just sat down off the powerbomb, immediately comes in, kicks him in the face, and gets the three count for the win. So Strong technically kind of stole the victory without stealing the victory.
Yeah.
Makes Strong look great, makes Lee and Dijak look awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, what a match.
Well, Nigel did a very good job here of like putting over what Roddy did as well as as that commentator. He said like Roddy wore them down in the beginning and then he got out of the way and let them tucker themselves out and then he came in and struck when the moment was right. Yeah, it's like that's a really good way of framing that to keep Roddy seeming good. Like Roddy did seem good in this match, but also as the smaller guy was obviously going to be fodder for the chucking around here.
Yeah.
I love the fact that this it was the perfect story to tell, and it's obviously the, you know, the bad blood between two people is a classic triple threat statement. Like it's the classic structure of that match. But here it felt really pertinent, and it really felt like these two guys looked as if it, like they acted as if Roddy wasn't anywhere on their level, and it wasn't even about that belt. Mm-hmm. It was about the fact that they had to finish what they had to do.
Yeah.
Like winning over Dijak or winning over Lee was more important to both of them than ever beating Roddy. And I loved it. It told that story so brilliantly, and I'm hoping that their internal feud, which has now gone to three no contests, like three draws essentially, and like is tied overall in terms of who's won as well. So they've had five matches that they've been involved in, and only two have come that actually had a defined winner.
Yeah.
So there's still a third match to have here to at least decide who's the best.
Yeah. Which, again, I'm fingers crossed. I really want that to be on a takeover.
That's got
to
be the PWG match, right? That's got to be the full...
That's got to be full everything, match, right? Yeah. And hopefully that's a takeover War Games. Pretty please. That would be amazing. And then we had the angle that we spoke about before with the Balor heel turn to end off the show.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. Overall... what a show.
Yeah.
I thought this was fantastic. There was so much meaningful build to a lot of feuds, loads of plates spinning. All of the in-ring action was, I'd say, great or better.
Yeah.
And then some of the top moments in NXT were like the Balor heel turn and that triple threat match. This is pretty much as good as it gets for a weekly episode of a show. I thought it was awesome. It 5 out of 5 for me.
Like we said, I think 5 out of 5 as well. I think like last week when we said, you know, the show... felt too much like it was going and next week.
And next week you can have this thing.
And it was like there was build, but it was all to the idea of more exciting build next week. Whereas this week it was build, but it all felt going like it's going to go somewhere very soon, and it was all exciting build. Like a Balor heel turn is build, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But what like leads to so many options? It's not just like. It leads to this match this week. And obviously, the payoff this week of the triple threat match that was set up in the build last week is the most tantalizing thing. It was the best match on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was an unbelievable finale to NXT, especially when you then were like, oh, and now here's the crescendo bit. Not only did you see that match, but here's like this thing and Ciampa and Johnny and they're together again. And oh, wait, Finn Balor's turned heel. Oh, my God, what's happening? Is he joining the Undisputed Era? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how, like, I know how AEW ended, and we can probably spoil it here because we're a few days
it's
later.
It's Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know how that could even match up.
Yeah,
I know. You've gone to, like, a TV time limit draw, which is a very good way of protecting two people, but compared to what happened on NXT, it pales in comparison.
Right. Yeah, this was... really bloody good.
Big win for NXT this week.
I'm so, so excited for what's to come on NXT next. And I guess that's the point, is I really want to watch more.
Yeah.
Can't do really much higher praise than that.
You can't have higher praise than that. And it's made me so excited for next week. Like the matches they've announced for next week, Cameron Grimes versus Tyler Bate.
Yes, please.
After Cameron Grimes this week, can't wait to see Tyler Bate return to NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of. Io Shirai versus Candice LeRae.
Again.
They're incredibly good together. The Kabuki Warriors, the return of Asuka and Kairi Sane to NXT versus Team Kick, who have just made their returns as well. That is going to be amazing. And then hopefully all of the fallout of all these stories.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to be immense.
Yeah. We've got, how long have we got? We have got 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks until TakeOver War Games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited because now this is getting into like the next gear of build. This is going to be like these matches are now getting made and these are the matches we're going to build to. I think probably from next week onwards, that's when we're going to see like this match is now official and we're going to build this now. Because now we're still in the speculation phase right now. But I think as of next week, it's going to be proper. War Games is soon. here's the matches, get excited. And I can't wait. I'm so excited.
I love these periods of time in NXT where it's like we're actually like a month out from TakeOver and mm-hmm. the story starts to advance. This is when you get all the best promo stuff. It's when you get all the sort of really cool story aspect. And also now because they've got the extra hour, there can still be an hour's worth of amazing wrestling per
exactly.
show.
Exactly.
What more do you want?
Exactly. What a great show. Wow, what a great show that was. Wasn't it, Laurie?
I'm not good at acting, Pete. We haven't recorded it yet.
Laurie's just made a massive case about what we should do is we should actually record the intro, then the main show, and then the outro, because for once we're not actually live streaming this NXT review. It's actually going to be going out on Sundays now. Spoilers, it is still a Thursday when we're recording this. So Laurie just did a thing where he's like, oh, we can actually just do it in order. We could do the intro, the main show, and then the outro. And I said, yeah, that's cool. So we recorded the intro, went to go record the main show. Laurie's like, actually, you know what? I reckon it'd be better to record the outro now. Come on, Laurie. I thought, close my emails.
I thought about the getting up and stopping the recording and starting it again,
mm-hmm.
or the putting it into editing software and finding it and hacking it out. And I was like, that feels like effort. So I didn't.
I mean, it'll be fine. Anyway, so we haven't actually recorded it yet. We've got one more email to get to. Breakout comes in to say, or I should say Luke is his actual name. Hello to everyone in the office. I can't be bothered to list everyone's names. Sorry. There are a lot of us now, in fairness.
It's going around the laziness, isn't it?
But especially Pete, because it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Chopper. Still not my birthday, but thank you. My name is Luke, and I've been a fan of WrestleTalk for about a year now. This is my first time emailing in, and it's to say a massive thank you to everyone at WrestleTalk. Over the past 5 to 6 months, I've lost about 2 stone, and I owe it to all you guys. Your podcasts have helped me drift away at the gym and do more than I ever could have hoped for. Everyone at WrestleTalk has helped me so much, and I just wanted to say thank you from Luke. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
Luke.
The amount of people who write in to say they listen to us in the gym
suggests
to me that we should have some sort of dance music, background music to just...
That'd be amazing.
To push people along.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we'll have our own dance break, like an R-Truth Carmella dance break. Yeah, just
can't
that.
Can't do it for that long.
Just continually.
Oh, God. Wait.
Just that continually for the podcast. Yeah, just throughout the entire review, intros, outros, everything. Just have that beat.
Yeah,
constantly. Yeah. And then we'll have our own dance break.
Yeah,
yeah, we'll just throw in some ad libs in
pump
there.
It.
Oh, that'd be great. We've actually had a very busy few weeks here. Obviously, mm-hmm. with all the changes in October and all that stuff. We've got some other things on the horizon as well. I know we probably can't talk about them on the podcast. But we've got some things happening. We had a big meeting about one of these things yesterday.
That's pretty exciting.
It is pretty exciting. So I'm very much looking forward to that stuff. Have you got any more D&D stories? Because I don't. I haven't played.
I do, yeah. We played last night. So we're doing a one-shot, basically, now, which didn't turn out to be a one-shot.
Because
funnily enough, we didn't finish it.
Yeah.
Deliberated about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was one of our characters left the party because in real life he had a baby.
Selfish.
I know, bloody selfish. We were telling a story. So he went away for a bit while obviously having a newborn.
Yeah.
He's coming back now. So we had to go and find his character.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, he's a half-orc. A while ago we found like an amulet that like belongs to like an orc dark god. And we were in a really dire situation at one point. And like there was always this sort of thing of this amulet's dark pull towards him. And we kind of kept it away from him. And then in the middle of this fight, he just found it and put it on. And we were like, you don't put on the mad amulet. And so he went crazy and started like murdering anything. So like, it really helped us in the fight because he was obviously murdering a lot of the right guys.
Yeah, yeah, but
he murdered a lot of the wrong guys too.
Mm-hmm.
And we all had to sort of stand back like, oh my lord.
Yeah.
Like, so apparently in the interim, while we were off underground in this dwarven city solving this whole dilemma between the dwarves and the Draugr, who are dark dwarves, mm-hmm. and this political kind of feud that they were having, he was outside wearing the amulet on a rampage, ended up captured and imprisoned in this by the army. and was taken to a wayfort. So we were on the trail of that mm-hmm. when we started this. And we arrived at this small village. The big wayfort is outside, and he's inside the wayfort being held prisoner. We are attempting to break into the castle. He is attempting to break out of the castle. Neither party knows that.
Okay, cool.
Him and one of our other players, a dwarf who's also like been out for a few sessions, so they ended up together and mm-hmm. are both in prison. They right. broke out of their cell, started breaking out of the castle. They're running around inside the keep. We're breaking in over the walls, which we struggled with because for some reason our paladin, when replacing his grappling hook and rope, bought a grappling hook with a black silk rope. Like he's some sort of like, he's into like aerial or something. Like he's,
yeah.
like he's going to do like a nice strip tease or something later Amazing. On. So, and it was like pissing with rain.
Yeah.
So it was impossible to climb this thing. Man. We finally get in, get on the castle, and like we're all scouting around. They're inside. They killed a chef who was admittedly attacking them.
Okay.
And then they ended up finding the lord of the castle. In his bedroom, and we'd been told by the landlord at the pub in town that his daughter worked there, and she was only 16, mm-hmm. and things had been fine for a couple of weeks when she worked there, and then things started taking like a darker turn because the lord of this fort was quite twisted,
right?
In a sort of what's his face in Game of Thrones, you know, the Battle of the Bastards lad.
Oh, the Ramsay.
Ramsay,
yeah. yeah.
Ramsay Bolton, yeah. So he's got a kind of that streak to him.
Right.
they were like trying to find the exit. In trying to find the exit, they stepped on a pressure plate that set two blades off at the front door that ripped one of them in half, basically.
Oh, God.
He survived, but yeah. he's like, so they were like, oh, God, not this way then, go the other way. And they walked through this door into this bedroom, and he's there with a knife to this girl's throat. And he's like, come one step closer and I'll kill her.
Jesus.
And our orc just goes, okay, not really our business, and goes to close the door and just walk away. Okay, no, I'm just leaving you to it, mate. Fine.
Wow.
Have fun. It's good to have him back.
Yes. But
he's clearly not invested in... Mm. Obviously, he's been in prison, so he doesn't care.
Yeah. I lied, actually. I said I don't have any D&D stories, but I do have one, because I forgot we didn't have any more in our campaign that we're doing. But we had a friend of ours was visiting from America, and he's a big D&D guy as well. So we did a little, like, basically a non-canon little, like, one-shot thing. We buffed all of our characters up to level 12, Ooh. And then we did... The guy that normally DMs did like this extra little thing. So he said, oh yeah, all of you wake up in this thing. There's a guy in like a hood who's like commanding all this stuff. And he's like, oh, you're going to put on a show. And he like claps his hands and then like a load of enemies come out. And we do like this big team fight. We have to fight off these waves of enemies and stuff. And then he goes, and now you all want to fight each other. And he like clicks his fingers and all of us like started like hating each other. So we just had a big like PvP kind of battle between each other, which was super cool because it started off because I'm just a little halfling rogue. So I'm just there to try and be sneaky. And the first thing that happens is the druid polymorphs into a white dragon that we just fought. It was a young white dragon, admittedly, so it wasn't, like, super strong. But, like, still, he just polymorphs into a young white dragon out of nowhere. And then someone else did something crazy. I can't remember what it was, but another character did something that was, like, really, like, big spectacle, kind of, like, a huge spell or something like that to start with. And I just went, cool, I'm casting invisibility on myself and running away. So yeah. I'm not going to deal with that.
Classic rogue.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to go hide over here. And I'm just going to sit this one out, guys.
As a ranger, that's how I always feel in fights. It's like, yeah so everyone's like, yeah, I'm going to use Agonazza's Scorcher and like light up five people in a big cone. And it's like, cool. I'll stand at the back and fling some arrows in, I guess. Yeah. Maybe.
That's pretty much what I did.
Let me know if you need any trick shots done.
It was literally the entirety of it was me just going like, I will roll for stealth. I'll bonus action hide. I'm hidden. Cool. I'm going to fire an arrow while I'm hidden, get sneak attack, and I'll do some damage. Cool. That's me. That's my turn. Yeah.
But like, I like being the supporting role because I've added in part of like cleric as well, so I can heal.
Yeah.
So I'm like, my character's quite supporting, but I do always look for opportunities to do something silly because it's like, well, otherwise I'm just standing here going... dong.
Yeah, exactly. Dong. Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, I want to do something cool.
Well, I did it originally because I could have literally, because no one could see me, because my stealth was stupid high because I was a rogue. I think I had plus 13 to stealth or something like that. So I was literally just like, and I was invisible. So like no one could see me. And then I'd roll, you know, at advantage for stealth and I'd get like 33 or something like that, you know, something ridiculous. So I could have literally for like 10 rounds, because it lasted a minute, I could have just sat there and done nothing. But I was like, that's not very fun. So I'm going to drop invisibility and I'll cast Crown of Madness on someone and try and control them and do this other stuff. And that was really, really fun. It was great.
That's the problem, is the best way to play it often is just not doing anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Me and Luke did that for a bit when we got into Luke's plan to get into the castle as we were sneaking around the edges and we found all the sally ports that were like locked. We were like, can't get in here.
Mm.
Luke's plan then was to shout up to the guards, like being like, come on in! They were like, and they just obviously started shooting arrows off the battlements and chucking stuff down. And it was like, Luke, they're not going to come out of the castle. She went, come on then!
Come on in!
But yeah, that was where we found us. So I hid in the doorway for a good 3 rounds while I was like, maybe they'll come down. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll just
not really sure.
Sit this
wait
out
the arrows.
Anyway, that should probably wrap this podcast up. Thank you guys for listening. Please send in more emails because I am running short on them. Pete@wrestletalk.com. Send those in. Although they'll be for the AEW stream next week. So also email Laurie@wrestletalk.com. for emails for the NXT one, I guess. So do that. We'll be back on Tuesday. Ollie and myself will be doing the Raw review. Yeah, I'm on Raw now. Oh my God, I'm on 3 podcasts this week, next week. I need loads of emails. Everyone email me, please. It doesn't matter what it says. Just email me, please. Pete@wrestletalk.com. thank you very much for listening. Love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.